If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
For Talk Radio News Service, I'm Jeff Holtzman.
I will not answer any questions or testify about the subject matter of this committee's meeting.
That was IRS official Lois Lerner invoking her Fifth Amendment rights during a House hearing this morning. Lerner was allowed to leave the hearing, although she did first make a brief statement insisting that she did nothing wrong while on the job.
I have not broken any laws. I have not violated any IRS rules or regulations, and I have not provided false information to this or any other congressional committee.
With Lerner gone, former IRS Commissioner Doug Shulman was left to face intense heat from lawmakers on both sides, who questioned why he did not inform Congress after learning that IRS agents improperly harassed conservative groups that had applied for tax-exempt status in the lead-up to last year's elections.
If there's someone wielding a knife in the parking lot, are you going to call the Inspector General? Are you going to wait until his or her investigation's over before you stop it?
South Carolina Republican Trey Gowdy. Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
ConservativeNationRadio.org. Good evening to you. Duke Brooks here. This is Radio Free America. Thanks very much for being along tonight. It's about 1.5 minutes now after the top of the hour. And we have a few things to talk about. No question about it. It has been a very heavy news day. It has been a very, very heavy news 2 weeks or so. We have the triple scandals going on in Washington, D.C. We have some nudge from the IRS, who today pled the Fifth. We're going to talk about that in a moment, you and I. And apparently, her conduct during that hearing today was such that she actually she's going to be recalled. Daryl Issa, the congressman from California, who is the chairman of the U.S. House of Representatives Government Oversight Committee, is going to be recalling her. There are a couple of legal kind of innuendos surrounding this, and it has to do with the Fifth Amendment and the protections that you get and what you say and do can be used against you in a court of law, but we're going to get to that. Anyway, 718-305-7176 is the number here at ConservativeNationRadio.org. Couple of other things obviously have gone on during the last week or since we last spoke anyway. Obviously, a very, very serious tornado that struck Oklahoma left at least 24 people dead, many of them children. I guess if I were Mary Fallon, who is the governor of Oklahoma, I suspect that I would have called the White House and said, listen, don't you guys get near Oklahoma. I don't want FEMA. I don't want the national. I don't want anything. I don't want the federal government coming here and doing anything because they are going to screw up everything that they touch. I think Katrina in New Orleans in 2005 was just an example of the federal government at its best, or at its worst, or at what you would expect. Unbelievable. In any event, you may also be aware that today in London, a British soldier was beheaded in broad daylight in London by a gang of Mohammedan thugs. This is from the BBC News in London via the Drudge Report. A man has been killed in a machete attack and two suspects shot and wounded by police in Woolwich, southeast London. The Metropolitan Police said a murder inquiry was being led by its counterterrorism command. Prime Minister David Cameron said the UK would, quote, never buckle, unquote, in the face of terror attacks. Footage has emerged showing a man wielding a bloodied meat cleaver and making political statements. Police confirmed two men had been arrested in connection with the murder. They are unconfirmed reports that the dead man was a soldier. Both French President François Hollande and Member of Parliament Nick Rainsford said the dead man had been a soldier at Woolwich Barracks. What I find to be unbelievable is these people call themselves the religion of peace, and they're serious about it. They believe that they are the religion of peace. Well, you know, it's funny. In the West and in the East, we define peace in different ways. In the West, peace is the absence of conflict. But to the Mohammedans, peace is the absence of resistance. That is the differential. That is what makes Western civilization different from Mohammedan civilization. And they are going to keep on doing the things that they do. They have their friends in the media in this country. I mean, how can there be any doubt about that? If you go on Facebook to talk about anything of this nature, and people have posted it on Facebook. This happened apparently just a couple of hours ago. At 2:20 this afternoon, which I guess is, 10:20 this morning, apparently, East Coast time in the U.S. I think as long as there is Western media, free media in the West, and obviously there is, there are going to be people in the media who are going to be completely opposed to the Western way of life. And they many people in the media in the West simply do not support Western values. They do not support the Western tradition. They are absolutely adamant about defending the enemies of Western civilization. And let's face it, the Mohammedans are the enemies of Western civilization. Not really sure how anyone could come to any conclusion other than that one. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org. Thanks very much for listening. It's about 7 minutes now after the top of the hour. Welcome to Wednesday, by the way. Hump day. You know, a lot of people are very, oh, wow, it's great. Hey, Wednesday, it's just another day. You know, when you get to be the creaky old age that I am, the days go on and on, and they do not end, and they just kind of all blend together. But in any event, I'm looking forward to a great Memorial Day weekend. How about you? I suspect at some point in the future, there will be a movement in this country to do away with Memorial Day and with July 4th, Independence Day. There will almost certainly, I'll bet you dollars to donuts right now, there will be people within the next, I would give it 5 or maybe 10 years, and some of them will be congressmen, and some of them will be senators. Many of them will be newscasters, to do away with Memorial Day, because Memorial Day memorializes those who have fallen and lost their lives in defense of our country. It started after the Civil War as something called Decoration Day, and that was the day when the relatives of Americans who had fallen in the Civil War would go to the cemetery and put flowers on their graves, a great tradition, a good and fitting and proper thing to do. But at some point soon, I can just about guarantee you, I mean, we all see where this is going, don't we? Someone in academia, someone in the media, someone on the left is going to say, it is wrongful and immoral to pay tribute to American soldiers and American troops, because after all, America is an evil, evil country, and to memorialize those goose-stepping Nazis in our military, it's got to stop. You think I'm wrong? Hey, listen, if you think I've gotten this wrong, please give me a call. 718-305-7176 is the number. About 10 minutes now after the hour. Anyway, I'm looking forward to a great Memorial Day. The weekend after that, my best friend for the last 47 years or something is going to come down and visit from King of Prussia. I live in Delaware, and Bill's going to come down and visit. It's going to be great. It's a ritual. We're going to make guacamole. We're going to have chili. You know, my girlfriend Linda does not like the guacamole aspect. Is that right, hon? Linda says that is good. Linda doesn't like guacamole. I don't like fish. Linda loves fish. It's just one of those things, I guess. You know, she's from New England. Somebody was telling me the other day that many, many years ago, lobster was essentially peasant food in Maine. And back in the 19th century, they were giving lobsters to prisoners to eat. That's what, you know, it was so cheap, so plentiful, so many of them, so much, so easy to get. And apparently even today, it's extremely cheap if you're in Maine, down east. Somebody said it's like $1 a pound up there. It's a lot more than that in other parts of the country, presuming because of transportation costs. Thank you, President Obama, for doing such a great job of managing our economy and our energy that gasoline is now twice as much as it was when you took office. About 12 minutes after the hour, listen, I want to remind you, you've got to make sure and check out my buddy, former U.S. Navy SEAL Carl Higbee, on The Sound of Freedom with Hig and Resch, Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, right here on conservativenationradio.org. You have probably seen Carl on Fox and Friends. He is the well-known author of the book Battle on the Home Front, and also an outspoken critic of the Obama administration. Liberals can't stand him, and that's because he is right. And that alone means that he fits right in with us. So listen to The Sound of Freedom with Carl Higbee and former Navy JAG attorney Guy Reschenfaller, who is now, he won the election in Pittsburgh yesterday. He is a Commonwealth of Pennsylvania magistrate judge. His name is Guy Reschenfaller. Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. And I hope that we should be hearing from Carl and or Guy later this evening. They'll be on the air tomorrow night. And what we like to do is we like to get the next day's host or hostesses, in the case of Brenda and Barbara, to call up and promote their program so that you'll know what they're going to be talking about. I imagine that Guy is celebrating tonight. He obviously is a lawyer formerly of the United States Navy Judge Advocate General Corps, which are obviously the military attorneys, and he has run for office in Pennsylvania. And I'm very, very glad that he's won. I will bet you he is going to be the best magistrate judge in the entire Commonwealth. But that's just my opinion. I am prejudiced in that area. So anyway, 14 minutes after the hour, 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America. Duke Brooks is my name. Our chat room is open. Got a couple of folks that are in there, listening and lurking. I am expecting a special guest to be calling in. We're going to be taking a break here in a little less than a minute. As you're aware, I am very heavily involved in Delaware State Republican Party politics, and I'm glad that I am. It is very educational. I spent some time this afternoon with a very close friend of mine named Steve Grossman. Steve and I went to visit our mutual friend, John Sigler, who is the chairman of the Republican Party of Delaware and former president of the National Rifle Association, a great guy. And, well, I'm going to fill you in on that in a moment. We do have a caller, but we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to be joined by a good friend of mine who is planning to run for governor of the state of Delaware. So you just stay right where you are. More of your calls and more Radio Free America coming at you. Don't go away.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
You must be your fairy godmother.
In the classic fairy tale, Cinderella's dream comes true because the glass slipper fits.
It fits.
In our world, the right fit can be just as important.
Good heavens, child. You can't go in there.
Especially when it comes to car seats. Always choose a car seat that's the right fit for your child's age and size.
Oh, that does make a difference.
To make sure your little pumpkin gets there safely every time.
Happy to see you. Thank you.
Remember, you're responsible for protecting your children. Their happily ever afters are in your hands. For even more information about choosing the right car seat, visit safercar.gov/the right seat. This message has been brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared.
Prevent your child's next asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. Visit www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many. Brought to you by the EPA and the Ad Council.
Million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever. You're listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back. 17 minutes after the hour. You know I am a huge Beatles fan, and I always thought that if the Beatles had been able, prior to December 7th, 1980, to mount a comeback tour reunion concert, that they should have begun that concert with I Am the Walrus. But that's just my own opinion. Let me welcome Lacey Lafferty to Radio Free America. Good evening, Lacey. How are you tonight?
I'm fine, Duke. How are you?
Just fine. And by way of introduction, Lacey is the first person known to begin the process of declaring her candidacy for the office of governor of the state of Delaware. And that election will be held in just a couple of years, 2016. It's right around the corner. So, Lacey, I guess there's no time like the present to begin preparing and getting ready, huh?
Yes, I think we need, like the Republican Party needs to start earlier in their campaign seasons. If you can take a page out of the Democrats' book, if you remember back, Ruth Ann Minner, she started years ago, a couple years before she announced when she was in the Senate, she announced a couple years before, to run for lieutenant governor and then governor. And I'm just taking a page out of what's been transpiring over the last 20 years. And I'm hopefully to take the same steps and the same methods to do the same thing that I'm taking a page out of her book.
Why do you want to be the governor of Delaware? Why would anybody want to be the governor of any state? I mean, it's a tough job. Why do you want that job?
I love the state of Delaware. My family has lived here for four generations. And I've committed my career to serving the people of the state, and I've raised my family here. I'm committed to making the most meaningful contribution I can make to our state and our people and for the Delaware's future.
Now, you mentioned that you have served the state for most of your career. Tell us a little bit about your service as a Delaware state trooper.
I spent my entire career as a Road Patrol trooper throughout Delaware, briefly in Newcastle when I got out of the academy. I went to Newcastle, then I went to Kent County for about a year, and then I came back down to Sussex County where I live. And I spent the rest of my career down here in Sussex throughout the east and the west and the central of the county. And I tell you, that's where I love to be. I just got a deep love for the people of this state. And to me, real police work is getting out on the road and helping with their problems. Because, you know, this is what we did as patrol troopers. We are problem solvers. And I enjoy going to their residents or their businesses and helping with whatever problem that they had at the time of the day. Any time of the day for that goes, because I love night work. Day work, you know, it's okay, but I love to go out in the night and patrol the roads and run criminals through people's yards while everybody's sleeping. That was just my thing.
It's so dangerous, though. I mean,
well,
you know, I've said this before, you couldn't pay me. It's just so dangerous, but it's appalling. It's not just something that you go to, you know, I need a job, so I guess I'll be a police officer. It's a calling, isn't it?
Yes, it's something that you're hardwired for. I mean, I truly believe you're hardwired for it. Not anybody can do this kind of work. You got to be a people person to start with. You got to have that warmth for your fellow man or woman, and to know that you want to be out there to help them. And you feel for them and take a bullet for them.
Very scary, Lacey. I'm glad that you served our state, and I'm glad that you protected the citizens that needed protecting and got the bad guys off the street. But boy, it is so dangerous. I'm glad that you're retired now. So,
well, I retired. It wasn't my choice, but it was I got a duty connected hearing impairment part of my career that the administration felt like it was to protect me and, you know, the division that they retired me from service. And I love the state police, I tell you, and I'd do it all over again. They were good to me. And I wanted to do my duty and make them proud of the service that I did and make the citizens of this state proud of my service as well. And I'd do it all over again. If they called me on the phone right now and say, hey, Lace, go out there and I need you to do this, I'd jump right in the car and go.
Was it difficult being a woman state trooper, and you started at some point in the late 1980s or early 90s. Is that when you started?
Yeah, I started in 1995, yes. No,
oh, okay.
It was never a problem. It was never a problem. They were always good to me. I worked around a good bunch of people. I had a good rapport with all the guys and gals at my troops and joining troops anywhere. I don't have a bad thing to say about any time I spent my career in the state police. I couldn't even begin to think of anything that came anywhere close other than joy. I went to work every day loving every moment of it. I was so enthusiastic of going to work every day and throughout my shift, and would be glad to even go over my shift helping people. And I take calls from people right now. They'll call me with their problems and ask for help or ask for advice, and I'm more than willing to give it. I love helping people. I enjoy it.
Well, that is a constant character that I have noticed in every Delaware State Trooper that I have met, and that includes my friend Steve Smick, who is now a member of the Delaware House of Representatives. He was a state trooper, as you know, for many, many years, and Steve has always been the kind of person that he just really enjoys helping other people, and he wants to protect the people that need protecting, and that obviously involves getting the bad guys off the street. And obviously, you two share that characteristic. But when you are elected, what are some of the first things that you plan to do as the chief executive of our state?
What I'd like to do is restore our state government back to the people, that's run by the people and representing the people's interest instead of a few individuals' interest, and restore the people's faith and integrity and honor and discipline in our government, making sound solutions and decisions concerning currency and principles and policies.
There are a lot of there's an awful lot of money that is spent in the state of Delaware by its government. 40% of the state's economy is the operation of the state government. And I don't know about you, but I think that that is just way too high of a number. And can't be helping the private economy in the state, and the private economy is everything. So are there departments in the and operations of the state government that you would want to curtail, reduce, or maybe eliminate altogether as governor?
Well, and again, there's things that need to be looked at, I think, by a panel of people and brilliant people that I surround myself with, that I want to be able to, you know, it's easy to sit there and say, you can do this or you can do that when you're running for office. And you've noticed that with national politics. But when when you get in there, then you can see the mechanisms and how they work. And that's when you take your problem-solving skills and you fine-tune these mechanisms, and to where you know you can use not only your ideals, but this is what I love about bringing people in. And I'm big about suggestions. I love to hear people's suggestions and opinions and thoughts and insights, because that's what makes me a better person. I know a lot of your current government structure right now, they like to dismiss people's ideas. And you see all the turmoil that's going on with the Republican Party. They don't want to listen to the Republican Party. They don't want to listen to our Republican representatives and our senators in our current legislative government. They're not willing to reach across and be partisan and say, hey, guys, come help us out with these current problems, because, you know, what we've established is really not working, and we like to have other ideas. And this is what I like to do. I like to get people's ideas. It's not all about a party, Democratic or Republican. It's all about the people. It's all about the conservative ideas of everyone and bringing all this together and being a team here and solving the state's problems, regardless of what executive branch, legislative branch, judiciary branch. I see a lot of problems in a lot of areas. Typically, your judicial branch is why we have the crime structure we have in the state of Delaware now. You know, I see a lot of improvement with that. I see a lot of improvement with our financial structure. It's hard to sit here and say that I can pinpoint this down at this level 4 years out, because things are going to change. You know that, and I know that. You know, as we progress, you know, as we progress into 2016, things are going to change. So, I can see me changing a lot of things to where it should be, the way government should work.
Well, one thing I can say without any reservation, you will certainly be the best looking governor that we've ever had in the state of Delaware. That's for sure.
Well, thank you, Duke.
Folks who don't know, Lacey is a former model. She is tall and very trim, very athletic looking, and she's got hair that I think most ladies would kill for, but I digress.
Thank you.
Lacey, thanks so much for being with us. And were you a jockey yourself, or you were a trainer, and you've got a long history with the horse racing business in the state of Delaware, don't you?
Yes, when I was still employed with Delaware State Police, I've always had horses my whole life, but I began getting into our harness racing that we have here in the first state. I'm a member of the Delaware Standardbred Owners Association, and I purchased a couple race horses And I got so involved in it that I learned how to train these. It's a whole different ballgame, training horses for pleasure and then training horses for racing. So that was something new to me that I had to learn. And over a period of a couple of years, from a good friend of mine that's also a fellow trooper, Bill Haggerty. And he actually got me involved in it. And I learned as I went, and to where now I train my own stable of horses, and I take them to the track. I drive them here, and like I say, I warm them up at the track, but I don't drive them at the track in the races. You have drivers you put up on them for the race itself, but I do everything else. So
horses are wonderful things. Lacey, thanks so much for being with me tonight, and I look forward to having you on the air again as your campaign moves forward.
Thank you so much, Duke. I appreciate the time.
My pleasure. Best of luck to you, and we'll talk to you again very soon. And indeed we will. It is now just about the bottom of the hour, 30 minutes after the hour. Incidentally, you know, always happy to have folks like Lacey on the air. Lacey's pretty conservative, and so am I, and I think I can assume that since you're listening to us right now, conservativenationradio.org, that you are probably a conservative as well, and that means that you love America and you love our Constitution just like us conservatives do. And since that's the case, you're going to want a supply depot to get everything from books and bumper stickers and patriotic T-shirts and flags and all that stuff. Your pipeline to that good stuff is right here at conservativenationradio.org. Just go to our website, conservativenationradio.org, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That will take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative revolution needs. So wave your flag and proudly display your love for America and the conservative revolution starting right now. So go to conservativenationradio.org and click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution. Real conservatism for real conservatives. More of your calls coming up. Don't go away.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a goat?
Goats are a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan. So, do you like it? GoatsForTheOldGoat.com.
Sweet dreams are made of the end. Who am I to
decide? This is Annie Lennox of Eurythmics, or RAD. Please don't drink and drive, and don't drive if someone else has been drinking. Thank you.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it. You're listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back. This is Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org. Conservative radio done right. 33 minutes after the hour, Duke Brooks here. 718-305-7176 is the number. Thanks a lot for being along tonight. Very big news day. All the rumors apparently are now confirmed. Anthony Weiner is going to be running for the mayor of New York City. Anthony Weiner, I was going to say disgraced former congressman. This guy apparently knows no shame. I mean, you know, the guy was sending Twitter photos and messages to women that he had met of his, private parts. And the guy was essentially run out of Congress as a result of that, and he should have been. And now he just cannot stay out of the spotlight. He obviously demands attention. he's going to have it, and on top of that, he's going to tell everybody else what to do. Absolutely amazing. I mean, it's what is with these politicians? They have no shame. It's just unreal. They will say or do anything to get attention, to get into office, to maintain their power over other people. Outrageous. Utterly outrageous. Now, if Anthony Weiner, and I guess in his case it's an appropriate name, but if Anthony Weiner does win and becomes the mayor of New York City, that will confirm to me that there is absolutely no hope whatsoever for my hometown. I was born and raised in Manhattan, and I just, unbelievable, absolutely incredible. Is there no integrity? Are there no morals left? I mean, I guess the answer is, I mean, what do you think? 718-305-7176. This is the kind of thing that I think if it had happened 100 years ago, or maybe even 50 years ago, when I was a little kid, if such a thing had taken place, I think that a lot of, most politicians, at least some, would have killed themselves to avoid the embarrassment. I mean, Weiner apparently did not commit any crime in doing what he did, but I would think that the embarrassment would just be unbelievable. I mean, there was a case in New York City around 85 or 86 that is known as the Parking Violations Bureau scandal. And New York City has boroughs. Other municipalities in the country sometimes have townships. But New York, I hope I get this right, New York does not have county. In New York, including their five boroughs, Manhattan, Staten Island, Queens, Brooklyn, and the Bronx, I believe that they are all part of New York County. But there are five, I might be wrong, there are five boroughs, and each borough has its own borough president who is an elected official. They don't answer to the mayor of New York City, but they can conduct business in their own borough, on their own to a large extent. Anyway, I believe the guy was the Queens borough president in the mid-1980s, and his name was Donald Manes, M-A-N-E-S, and apparently there had been a company that wanted to sell parking violation ticket writing technology or something. And I think that he took a bribe and then awarded the contract to this company, and he got found out. Ed Koch, the late Ed Koch, who died a few months ago, was the mayor of New York City at the time. And you remember the way Mayor Ed Koch used to talk. And Ed Koch on one occasion said, and I'm going to telescope this, because Ed Koch would use the verbalized pause literally between every word. And I remember seeing him on television. I was living in Connecticut at the time. And he said, I have known Donnie Manes for, and he went on like that, and he basically said, for 20 years. In fact, I knew him so well that I would have been happy to have him as the executor of my will, but now I see that Donnie Manes is nothing but a crook. And that was the way Ed Koch spoke. He was really amazing, very popular mayor. People loved him. Apparently Mayor Koch was gay. I think he was had not quite publicly come out, but by the same token, I don't think he was trying to hide that from anybody, which I would imagine a person would not. But in any event, he was a very effective mayor, great personality. Everybody loved him. Almost everybody. He was the mayor of what apparently was the only city in the country that literally had its own independent foreign policy. On one occasion, he went down to Nicaragua, and this would have been in 86 or 88 or some 80s, 88, 89, somewhere around there. He went down to Nicaragua, and he wanted to talk with Daniel Ortega, who was the dictator of Nicaragua at the time. And Ortega kept the mayor of the largest city in the United States waiting in his outer office in Managua for something like 3 hours and 20 minutes. And finally, I suppose, he assented to see Mayor Koch, and they went in and they talked, and Ed Koch came out, and he then returned to New York City, and there was Ed Koch on TV saying, Daniel Ortega is a Marxist communist, and that is what he is. I remember watching this and thinking, really, Mayor? You're kidding. He is? Wow. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. But New York City obviously has had a succession of, one might charitably refer to them as, very colorful mayors. One of the ones that comes to mind, and this man served as mayor before my time, and I was born and raised in New York City, was a guy named Fiorello LaGuardia. You've heard of LaGuardia Airport, which is just about due east of Manhattan, and I believe it is in the borough of Queens, as is JFK, which used to be called Idlewild. But Fiorello LaGuardia was a very colorful New York City mayor. Then in 1964, a guy named John Vliet, with a V, Lindsay, became the mayor of New York. When I lived in Albany in the mid-1980s, I knew the guy who was one of Mayor Lindsay's campaign managers. And listen, don't get old like me. I can see him. I can see his face and see him standing in front of me, but I have forgotten the guy's name, and he was a great, really great guy. Did a lot of political communication consulting and things of that nature. But certainly sometime after Mayor John Lindsay, there was a couple of other mayors. I think Abraham Beam was one, and maybe Wagner was one. I forget, really. I don't know. But then you had Mayor Dinkins. And Mayor Dinkins allowed the criminal element on the streets in New York to almost wreck the entire city. It was in the 80s, as it was in the late 60s, when mid-60s, really, when my parents finally said, no, you know, heck, you're 10, 11 years old, and you're getting mugged on your way to school, walking five blocks, and you're getting mugged. We're going to get you out of here, and then we moved to Philadelphia. But Mayor Dinkins basically, I think, ruined the city. And then New Yorkers finally said, look, we've had enough of this sort of laissez-faire permissiveness on the part of our government. And they put in the former U.S. attorney, Rudy Giuliani. And Mayor Giuliani cleaned up New York City. There's absolutely no question. And now the broadcast and internet and news, business news entrepreneur, Michael Bloomberg, who I believe has no business being anywhere near Gracie Mansion unless he's going there on a tour. But I digress. About 15 minutes before the top of the hour, you know, we monitor things closely here at CNR.org, and it's pretty clear that the switch is on to conservativenationradio.org. If you've got any doubts, you've got to listen to our new show on Saturdays that's brought to you with Internet radio veteran Robert Garding. It's the New Wise Conservatism Show, and it now comes to you on conservativenationradio.org every Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 Central. After years hosting the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show, Robert has a very big following on the Internet, so listen on Saturday and you're going to find out why. Thousands of people love New Wise Conservatism, and you will too. The New Wise Conservatism Show with Robert Garding, Saturdays at 4 Eastern, 3 Central on conservativenationradio.org. Conservative radio done right. It is about 14 and a half minutes now before the top of the hour. Going to take a brief break. More of your calls coming back on Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org. Don't go away.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
Wow, yeah, since the storm, it's been crazy busy for us. We got all kinds of office desks coming in. Now, here's a this is a fancy one right here. It's missing a leg, but that's all right. Whatever. Washers and dryers from a laundromat. Oh, wow, and check this out. Another deep fryer. And I'm not sure what this doohickey is. Yeah, most businesses weren't ready for a storm like that, you know. But our work's really piling up here at Roberts & Son Salvage.
What will become of your business after a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency. And 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now, before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.
Nurse, I need you to apply pressure to the head wound until I can get to it. I'm concerned she's lost too much blood.
Oh, no.
You in the corner, who are you? You're not supposed to be here.
She's my girlfriend, doctor.
You need to wait out in the waiting room.
Please, doctor, I want to stay with her.
Look, she's been badly injured. So if you want to do what's best for her, you need to let us do our work.
Please, doctor, she has to be okay. I didn't mean to do this. I love her.
Wait a second. You were the driver?
Yes, but I didn't mean to. I swear, we went to dinner. I was just buzzed. I only had a few drinks.
Just buzzed? Why didn't you tell us that? In that case, your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie. I feel great. You want to get out of here?
I can't believe this. Really, doctor? She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
You're listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back. Although at this moment, you're listening to Adi Amos from around 1994. I just thought that was wonderful. They called it world music, and Adi Amos, I just always loved that. Wonderful sounding stuff. Great album. You know, if you find it, lucky you. Anyway, 11 minutes now before the top of the hour, 718-305-7176 is the number. I do see a couple of people kind of motoring around in the chat room. And you are at free and complete liberty, ladies and or gentlemen, to call at 718-305-7176 and put in your 2 cents worth. I'm always interested in hearing from people. I mean, I'm not quite as humble as Bill O'Reilly. I never ask, where am I going wrong here? Because I don't think that I am. I think that I'm right about things. I mean, frankly, they're not going to give you a talk show if you don't have very firm and specific opinions about things. I mean, that would seem to make sense. I mean, what do you think? You know? So in any event, there are obviously there are three scandals, arguably three and a half now, three scandals surrounding the Obama administration. And, you know, Jay Carney, today is his birthday, apparently, the president's press spokesman. He is a guy that I have always thought is obviously an absurd and ridiculous left-wing ideologue. He's one of the chattering class of the professional left. And guess what? Before he got his job as Obama's spokesman, he was a reporter. I'm not sure where, but he was a reporter. So the only difference between what he was doing then and what he's doing now, because before he was Obama's spokesman, he was parroting the Obama-naught line. And what is he doing now? Well, he is writing the Obama line is what's happening now. But when reporters finally, about 2 weeks ago, began asking him questions about why the Department of Justice had subpoenaed the phone records of 20 reporters that worked for the Associated Press, finally the reporters began doing their jobs. Finally, they started asking the administration some hard questions. They had never, ever done that before. And obviously, there's ample video out there that when people like Ed Henry and other reporters who were just not willing to swallow the Obama administration's take on things hook, line, and sinker, uncritically, unquestioningly, simply accepted at face value, other reporters in the room were razzing him and giving him a tough time because they are all pretty much of one mind. They're basically a bunch of like-minded people that are all very, very in favor of liberal policies and the left-wing agenda that is characterizing this administration. And they like it that way. And now, all of a sudden now, when they realize that the Obama Justice Department is actually going to subpoena reporters' phone records, that was the end of it. I mean, we've had arguably now four and a half scandals. I'll tell you about this half one in a moment. It's related to the DOJ AP story that I just mentioned. But before Obama was reelected, there was Fast and Furious. And the media poo-pooed it, and they dismissed it. Doesn't matter. This is a program that Bush started. It's all Bush's fault. Obama's right. It's all Bush's fault. It's all Bush's fault. So they tamped that one down. And if congressional hearings are held, but no one from the media or the press is there to cover them, did they actually take place? And I think the answer is possibly no. You know, if the media ignores it, the American people won't know. That, incidentally, is as much an editorial decision on the part of editors and producers and writers as deciding to cover something is. So we had that one. Nothing really happened. Then about 7 weeks before the president was reelected, you had the murder of four Americans in Benghazi, Libya. And this is something else that simply the media just, they wanted to kind of turn their back on it. They really just didn't want to do anything or say anything or participate in any way with anyone that might have reduced the president's chances of getting reelected. I've mentioned before, there was essentially a private chat room set up on the internet for journalists of the Washington, D.C. Press Corps by a guy named Ezra Klein, who is the editor of the Washington Post's online product editor. And he set up this thing called Journolist. And someone got a hold of the transcripts of it. And here were a lot of quite a few second-tier journalists whose names are not instantly recognizable. No Brett Baer, no Dan Rathers, no Brian Williams, people like that. But people that certainly one day will be in that position. And one of them said on this Journolist that they consider themselves to be the unofficial campaign for Barack Obama. Well, okay, as if that does not, how more clear can you possibly get that media has a left-wing agenda in this country? I mean, it should be obvious. It should be very, very clear. So you have media trying to tamp down and downplay and essentially, poo-poo any story that is going to make the president look bad. They were able to do that to a very large extent with Benghazi. Now it has come out, and we have known this now for at least 2 weeks, that orders were given to our military to stand down, to not go to Benghazi, don't even attempt a rescue. We know that the former Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, apparently working with Obama appointees at the CIA and elsewhere in the State Department, were trying to concoct a fabricated story that the reason this took place, it was a spontaneous demonstration, and they were very, very angry about this anti-Islam video. And obviously, we now know that that had absolutely nothing to do with it. Hillary Clinton famously made that statement. What difference at this point does it make whether they were killed as a result of an attack or whether they were killed as a result of a spontaneous desire by local militants, let's go and kill some Americans. And obviously, the secretary was not truthful and was not forthcoming when the Senate asked her questions. And obviously, emails were rewritten. They were rerouted. We now know that the White House has just been basically lying their rear end off over this entire thing. So the media really didn't want to touch that. Then the next thing that broke about a week and a half ago was the fact that the IRS was targeting conservatives to deny them their ability to gain tax-exempt status under what's known as Part 501c4 of the Internal Revenue Service Code. And most of the media, they really didn't have a problem with that because, after all, it was conservative voices that were being suppressed in that way. Then, very slowly, in media, even in liberal media, they began realizing that if a liberal president can use the IRS to attack his conservative political enemies, a conservative president can use the IRS to attack his liberal political enemies. And gradually the media began realizing, all right, this is not cool. They were still mostly on board with the president as the unofficial campaign for Barack Obama until it was revealed that the U.S. Department of Justice was issuing and had subpoenaed phone records of reporters, including their home phones. They weren't tapping them. They were not recording their conversations, but they were looking to see who they had called. And I think I mentioned last week that this, in my view, was done as a legitimate function of national security. They didn't cross all the T's and dot all the I's, and therein lies the problem. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. It is the top of the hour. More philosophy and your calls coming up on Radio Free America, so don't go away.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Remember when your neighbor found us naked in the car? And the Times of Outdoor Action got us kicked out of the park? Getting frisky in the dark, I gave your eye a poke. I think the dog is also in the bed. Do I smell smoke, you and me? We never give up, you and me. We never give up, you and me. We never give up, you and me. We never ever give up.
Up on sex. Don't give up on birth control either. There are more methods than you think. Visit Bedsider.org to compare all the choices and put the bogus myths to bed at Bedsider.org.
Boy, we got options tonight.
Brought to you by Bedsider and the Ad Council. Bedsider.org.
My name is Dale Pazinski. I'm 19 years old, and this is how I live United. I've always been kind of a computer geek, and I found a way to use those skills to help the homeless in my community. For people facing hard times, computer skills and a basic resume are so important. It may seem like a small thing, but it makes a huge difference in people's lives. So with United Way, I created a program where I work with the homeless. Together, we go through their whole job history, write a resume, and then save it on their very own USB drive. We provide workbooks and training certificates. I even budgeted for cupcakes so we can celebrate as a class when one of our people gets a job. That's huge. When somebody says, "Hey man, that job that you helped me apply for, I got it." That's what living United feels like to me. My name is Dale Pazinski. I help people achieve financial independence. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
ConservativeNationRadio.org. Welcome back. It's about 2.5 minutes now after the top of the hour. That, of course, the mighty Jeff Wynn, Bev Bevan, the late Kelly Grocut, the Electric Light Orchestra, and Illusions in G Major from the album El Dorado. I'm a huge ELO fan, you know, and I don't mind letting you know that. You probably have figured that out by now. ELO, Beatles, Moody Blues, Genesis, those are my four bands. Everybody's got their own group of bands. Christopher Manti, who's on the air with us on Friday night and who probably is cursing the fact that he ever asked me to participate in this enterprise. Christopher is a huge heavy metal fan. Stryper, Crocus, Yngwie J. Malmsteen, Blue Oyster Cult, I'm not a metal guy at all, not one bit, but anyway, I digress. We were talking about the fact that the first three scandals that were experienced by the Obama administration had largely been ignored by the press. They're fans of the president. There's absolutely no question about it. And they did not want to do or say or report anything that would tarnish him or taint him or attach scandal to him in any way. And they did not until they realized that the Department of Justice was snooping around their phone records. Now, the reason they were doing this, and they had every authority to do it, but they missed a very important point. And this is something that I think really has enraged the press and has left a lot of the leftist community in this country a little bit disillusioned. They wanted the Department of Justice, and in my view, rightfully so, wanted to identify the source of a leak concerning an anti-terror operation that the Department of Justice says, and frankly, I believe them, an operation that broke up and stopped before the fact what would have been a terrorist attack on a U.S. flag, U.S. airliner somewhere in transatlantic service. And this attack was broken up. I don't know what the details are, and I've got to be honest with you, I kind of think I don't want to know. But they broke up this attack before it happened. They were able to get the people, get them off the street, get them out of circulation. One might point out as an aside that they have not been nearly as enthusiastic about getting the ringleaders and the participants in the attack that killed Ambassador Chris Stevens and three other Americans, two of whom were former Navy SEALs, apparently, and I think one was a Marine, at the U.S. Consulate in Benghazi on September 11th last year. No one has been arrested in that. I mean, it's ridiculous. But in any event, the Department of Justice wanted to find out who was leaking information to the Associated Press and I guess to other news media about the details of how this attack was discovered and how it was broken up, this planned Arab-Mohammedan attack on a U.S. airliner. And that's why they began trying to figure out by going through reporters, looking at the phone calls they made, you know, identifying phone numbers. Apparently, John Brennan, who was suspected of being the leaker, I don't think that that has been proven. He is now the DCI, the Director of Central Intelligence. He's in charge of the CIA. Prior to that, he was the administration's counterterrorism guy, not a very good one, apparently. I mean, he, you know, he's famously on one occasion said, "We are not at war with terrorism. This is terrorism is a symptom of this, that, the other thing. We're at war with what causes it." And again, another leftist in the U.S. administration that simply will not admit to themselves that the problem is not terrorism. The problem is Mohammedanism. But I digress. And when the reporters found out that this is what was going on, that's when the bloom was off. It was no longer sweetness and light and hearts and flowers. Now they are no longer fully enamored of the Obama administration, and they had begun asking tough questions. The half scandal, I think, as a direct follow-on to that, is the Fox News national correspondent James Rosen. Apparently, the FBI was seeking phone records, and I think that they may have actually tapped his telephone because he was doing a story, I think, about Benghazi. I'm not sure exactly, you know, what it was. I will find out and get back to you. If you know exactly what story James Rosen was working on when they began looking at his phone records, please give me a call at 718-305-7176, and you can enlighten me. Listen, if I'm wrong about something that is factual, if I came out and made a statement to the effect of, Adolf Hitler wasn't running Germany until 1961, and I'm wrong about it, if you set me straight with fact, not with opinion, but with fact, frankly, I will thank you. I'll be happy to be set straight. However, if your opinion is different from mine, let's talk about it. If you can change my mind with fact, then I think you've done me a favor. But if you are a liberal and all you really want to do is call names and explain to everybody how much you really hate conservatives and patriots and that sort of thing, then, you know, please listen. I'll give you airtime. I always give liberals at least as much time as I give my kindred, like-minded spirits, my conservative brothers and sisters, because my thinking is, and facts have always, you know, actual history has always borne this out, when you let liberals just go on and on and on and on, they will eventually hang. You give them enough rope, they will hang themselves, because there is no logic, there is no reasoning, and there is no fact, and there is no history in their arguments. They are strictly coming from a position of, wouldn't it be nice, and gee whiz, and, Marx said this, therefore it must be right, and here's the theory, let's do it, and that sort of thing. And their ideas just never work, ever. They never have. They never will. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America. Duke Brooks is my name. You are listening to conservativenationradio.org, conservative radio done right, and I'm very glad that you are. I guess the big question of this hour, and I know that this is going to sound cynical. I know it's going to sound not quite ghoulish, but a lot of people are going to be probably very, very displeased that I would bring this up. I understand why they would, but I'll tell you what, I want to bring you a little bit of information first. I mentioned Christopher Manti a moment ago. He is a conservative headbanger. A headbanger is a heavy metal guy. And I want you to listen to Chris every Friday. He's right here on conservativenationradio.org for the Christopher Manti Show at 5 o'clock, 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central. He's got a fresh take on conservative thought, modern America, the threat of Sharia, and that weird, wild, wacky, wonderful world of Washington, D.C., and plenty of heavy metal rock and roll thrown in. The Christopher Manti Show, which I was thinking of calling eponymous, Fridays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central, on conservativenationradio.org, Real Conservatism for Real Conservatives. Chris is a, and you know, I don't mind saying this, yes, I'm the program director of the network. I think Chris is the best sounding guy that we've got. I think he sounds better than I do. No, not much question about that in my mind. So you should listen. I enjoy listening to Christopher. I know him personally, and he is just a wonderful, lovely guy. In any event, again, I don't want to make the cynical meter jump off the scale. And this is not being said specifically on the backs and literally on the graves of quite a few people in the town of Moore, Oklahoma, who lost their lives 2 days ago when that horrible EF4 or EF5 tornado came through town and killed a lot of Americans there. But I can easily imagine an awful lot of people in the Washington press corps, in the newsrooms of the major city newspapers and TV stations and the network TV network newsrooms that were secretly very, very glad that that tornado happened. They probably were not glad that anyone was killed or hurt. As a matter of fact, I can say definitely they were not glad that anyone was killed or hurt, but they were very glad that something happened to take a little bit of heat off of their guy, the president, if only for a 24 or 48-hour cycle. Anything to give their guy a break. I can almost guarantee you that. I can almost guarantee it. 718-305-7176 is the number. It is now 15 minutes after the hour. This is Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org. Duke Brooks is my name. We're going to take a brief break and more of your calls and more discussion of the day's ideas and the factors affecting all of us coming up, so don't go away.
Foreclosure is hard on every member of the family, but your family is not alone. If you're struggling with your mortgage, there is help. To learn about the government's Making Home Affordable program, visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE to speak to a HUD-approved housing counselor. It's free of charge. Visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE today. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, NeighborWorks America, and the Ad Council.
Sure, humans can be a little weird at times, but take it from me, I'm a dog. And a person is about the best thing that can happen to a shelter pet. So if you want to learn how you can be that person, get down to your local pet shelter or visit the shelterpetproject.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Radio Free America, and if you are a regular listener of Radio Free America, and I hope that you are, you know that that music, which is actually called the Ashokan Farewell, and it was written in the 1980s, like 5 or 6 years before the Ken Burns PBS program called The Civil War, which was narrated by David McCullough. I think a critic, when that came out, went on the air in 89, I think, said something along the lines of, if better use has ever been made of television, I'm not aware of it. And I think I would probably agree with that. We are now, of course, in the 150th anniversary of the Civil War, the sesquicentennial, as they say. And I've been keeping everybody sort of up to date on what was going on in our country 150 years ago today. May 22nd was a Friday in 1863. And this is from a book called The Civil War Day by Day, an almanac by E.B. Long and Barbara Long. And today was the day of the second assault on Vicksburg. General Grant attacked a three-mile section of the crescent-shaped defenses of Vicksburg, Mississippi, with all the power he could muster. At 10 in the morning, the Federals surged forward against the Confederate lines, extending from Stockade Redan on the north to Fort Garrott on the south. The charge over deep, narrow ravines that added to the man-made defenses of the city was against six strong points and a line of high breastworks. That means like a wall, protected by dirt and log. Sherman's troops reached the top of the wall but failed to hold it. McClernand's men likewise managed to gain the barricades here and there, but to no avail. One breakthrough at Railroad Redoubt was briefly successful, but counterattacks closed the breach. Strong Confederate defenses beat back continued charges. Federal gunboats and mortars bombarded. Later, Grant regretted making the suicidal attack. Losses were heavy. It created further antagonism between Grant and McClernand. Of 45,000 Federals, 502 were killed, 2,550 wounded, 147, a total of about 3,200 casualties. Confederate losses were under 500. Grant never again tried to assault Vicksburg. Instead, the Federals began the siege in earnest, digging approach trenches and building artillery positions. Union and Confederate soldiers alike soon knew the tedium as well as the dangers of a siege in Washington. Lincoln had just heard of Grant's successful campaign in approaching Vicksburg. In Richmond, Jefferson Davis wired General Braxton Bragg at Tullahoma, Tennessee, quote, "The vital issue of holding the Mississippi at Vicksburg is dependent on the success of General Johnston in an attack on the investing force. The intelligence from there is discouraging. Can you aid him?" Investing in military terminology means a force attacking. That is an attempt to invest a city or a position is an attempt to attack and take it. In military parlance, that is called investing. Don't really know why it is. I really enjoy military history, and you know, these efforts around Vicksburg, Vicksburg on the Mississippi River, in Mississippi, the strategy was that if the Yankees, if the Federals, if the Union, if the North, if them blue bellies could take Vicksburg, they would control the Mississippi. They would have essentially split the Mississippi River in half, prevented Confederate supply boats from passing that area, and that would have been just another nail in the coffin of the Confederacy. As I think most people are aware, by July 4th of 1863, 6 or 7 weeks into the future, two major events took place that ultimately spelled the beginning of the end of the Confederacy. One, Robert E. Lee and the Army of Northern Virginia was turned back at a little Pennsylvania town called Gettysburg, and the Confederates that were under siege at Vicksburg surrendered. And that was U.S. Grant's first huge major victory. Grant was known. A lot of people, I mean, in World War II, he probably would have been called blood and guts, as George S. Patton was, because General Grant never hesitated to send in a lot of people, and very often they were killed. The Yankee Army was a very, very good army, no question about it. The Confederate States Army in the Civil War, without a doubt, absolutely no question, was one of the greatest armies of all time. There is no doubt about it. Now, at the end of the day, I'm glad that they lost. But anyone who tries to give the back of their hand to back of the hand treatment to the Confederate States Army, frankly, is making a very, very serious mistake. They were a tremendous army. They were undersupplied. They did not have universally the latest technology as the North did. They did not have what they did have is they had the best military leadership in the world during the second half of the 19th century. Absolutely no doubt. Robert E. Lee remains to this day probably the most beloved American general in history, no question about it. All right, he was on the wrong side. He was fighting for the wrong thing, but he was a brilliant general. Thomas Jonathan Jackson, who was his right hand man until May of 1863, General Jackson went by the name of Stonewall. Stonewall Jackson, maybe you heard of him. Widely regarded, and I don't think that there's much doubt about this, the greatest tactical battlefield general since Napoleon. I mean, there's very little question about, absolutely no question, actually. However, the Confederate, you know, in the South, there is still a very, very serious military tradition. They take it very seriously there. You do not want to get the Southerners really riled up. I think that there are many, many foreign countries, Germany comes to mind, Japan comes to mind, Spain comes to mind, in which U.S. Army units that were pulled largely from the southern states, you really just kind of can't beat them. You know, they're tough, and I'm glad that they are. It is about 25 minutes after the hour. You are listening to Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. Looks like chat room population there, though you folks are still there. Yes, Teresa, I see your waving smiley face, and how appropriate. 718-305-7176 is the number. I would love to hear your outlook on these things. You know, there. I guess the big question is this. Lois Lerner, who was running the tax-exempt certification division of the Internal Revenue Service, came into the U.S. Congress today. She said, I didn't break any laws, I didn't violate any regs, I didn't do anything wrong, but I'm not going to answer any of your questions. And then she began taking the Fifth, and finally they said, all right, get out of here. There have been quite a few legal talking heads that have come out and said, look, the courts, and most notably Judge Andrew Napolitano on Fox News earlier today, Judge Napolitano said, look, the courts have interpreted the Second Amendment and the exercise of your right, the Fifth Amendment, the exercising of your constitutional rights under the Fifth Amendment as basically an all-or-nothing proposition. If you are asked, you in the United States of America, you are not required to give testimony against yourself. But if you are going to exercise that right, you must exercise it in absolute totality, meaning you can give your name and your address, but anything else that they ask you, that a prosecutor may ask you, you do not answer. You plead the Fifth Amendment, which in the United States is completely legitimate. There are foreign countries that there are no circumstances under which you would be afforded that right. Most of the European countries, you do have to give testimony against yourself, not in America. Now, what Ms. Lerner did today is she began her testimony with a statement. And Congressman Trey Gowdy of South Carolina, who is a former prosecutor, during the hearings, said that she, by giving that statement at the beginning of her testimony, that she waived her own right against self-incrimination under the Fifth Amendment, and she is subject to recall, and when they bring her back in, she is going to have to answer the questions about the three areas about which she made statements, and that is, I did nothing wrong, I violated no rules or regulations, I didn't break any laws. So they will be able to ask her questions along those lines. You know, I was really hoping, and this is one of those things, I was hoping that as her testimony period ended, that Congressman Darylis Issa of California, the chairman of the House Government Operations and Oversight Committee, would have said to her, Ms. Lerner, I am sorry that this hearing has to end inconveniently for you, but the Capitol Police will now take you into custody. And you will remain in the brig, because there's a jail in the basement of the U.S. Capitol. And I guess the reason they built it is so that they could lock up people that refuse to comply with congressional subpoenas or you know, maybe lock up congressmen like Preston Brooks of South Carolina, who famously, I think in 1857 or 58, attacked a Massachusetts senator named Charles Sumner over the issue of slavery with a cane. And he beat Senator Sumner so heavily and so hard that the senator lost consciousness, and Congressman Brooks actually broke his cane. Apparently, some supporters of Congressman Brooks sent him new canes. Hey, you know, what are you going to do? But in any event, that's what that brig is for, and I was kind of hoping that Miss Lerner would be put in that brig. But no such luck. You don't get everything that you want. It is the bottom of the hour. You know, those of us here at conservativenationradio.org are very proud to be associated with the most effective identity security and credit monitoring service that there is, and that, of course, is LifeLock. You know, LifeLock is much more than just a standard kind of credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. There really is nothing that comes close to LifeLock. You have certainly heard guys like Rush and Sean and Mark Levin and Mike Savage and now Rudolph Giuliani talking about LifeLock. And if people like that are endorsing it, you know it's good. So to protect your identity with LifeLock, go to conservativenationradio.org and click on the LifeLock banner. Not all transactions are protected by the network, and the scope of coverage may vary. That is conservativenationradio.org, and just click on the LifeLock banner. 28 and a half minutes now before the top of the hour. Let's take a quick break. More calls, more news, more all that stuff that you love about Radio Free America coming up, so stay right where you are.
Are you tired of your hard-earned money going to support liberal and progressive enterprises? I know I am. That's why I shop at thethirdlantern.com. This conservative marketplace ensures that your money is well spent and supports conservative entrepreneurs dedicated to making their products here in America. Look, I'm a business owner. I know how hard it can be to get your product out there. Get on his vendors list, and it will help your sales. I have had his barbecue sauce. It is amazing. Check out the website, thethirdlantern.com. That's the number 3, RD, lantern.com. Send your liberal friends there and tell them Higgin Resch sent you. thethirdlantern.com. Put your money where your ideology is.
A boy born in Joplin, Missouri, was fascinated by anything with wheels and a motor. The odds of him going on to fascinate millions with his talent? 1 in 260,000. The odds of this born racer having 157 career top 10 finishes in NASCAR? 1 in 125 billion. But every driver seeks the pinnacle of their achievements. The odds of him winning both the Daytona 500 and the Brickyard 400 in the same year? 1 in 195 million. The odds of a child being diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I'm NASCAR driver Jamie McMurray, and my niece has autism. Learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
Absolutely. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome to being along. 33 minutes now after the hour. The incredible Electric Light Orchestra with Summer and Lightning from the album Out of the Blue, 1977. Solid gold. Just love them. Love them. 718-305-7176 is the number. We will be bringing to you in about 5 minutes Common Sense with Kevin Wade. And as you may be aware by now, Kevin was the GOP nominee for the U.S. Senate last year here in Delaware, going up against Tom Carper, who has been the U.S. Senator from Delaware for over 12 years now. Before that, he was the governor of Delaware. Before that, he was the congressman from Delaware. I mean, the guy is just synonymous with Delaware politics. There's really nothing you can do to overcome that kind of tenure in office. One would think that there would be some common sense out there amongst the voters who might think, you know what, while that guy has been in politics, Senator Carper, things have gotten worse. Maybe it's time to change the people in Washington. Let's send somebody else. But no, no, not at all. The low information voter prevailed. You know, you've seen the thing called jaywalking with Jay Leno when they go out on the street and they ask questions like, you know, what is your name, sir? Do you have any idea at all? No, man. Who is the vice president of the United States? I don't know. It's Nixon, isn't it? You know, that sort of thing. People just do not pay any attention to it. A lot of people think that politics is boring. I understand that. There are some things about politics that can be pretty boring, kind of arcane. There are a lot of people who are professionals in politics. I had a tremendous opportunity today to spend part of the day with a good friend of mine who has been working in Republican politics in Delaware for a very long time. So Steve knows everybody, and he remembers when, you know, this fellow was a representative. Before that, he was a rep district chair, in the, you know, and he knows all these things. And he knows all the people, so he has a tremendous background and a tremendous amount of experience in it. But the detail level, for most people, I think their eyes kind of glaze over. You know, they just eventually, oh, man, this is, like, really boring. The only thing I need to know is, are you going to do something about my neighbor's barking dog? I mean, it's unreal how people, just generally speaking, simply don't care. It's kind of discouraging, very discouraging. But that's just life. Kevin Wade ran a great campaign, and I was honored and privileged to be Kevin's communication director in his campaign. Christopher Manti was Kevin's campaign manager, and against the entrenched Democrat machine in the state of Delaware, frankly, we did a lot better than a lot of people thought that we would, not quite as well as we would have liked. There was a spoiler in there. Alex Pyres, the famous class action lawsuit attorney, Alex came out swinging, and I just kind of got the impression that he really didn't know how to be an effective campaigner out there on the hustings, and he introduced a whole lot of kind of spurious elements that didn't, you know, really didn't belong there. So in any event, Kevin and I, shortly after the campaign on that Wednesday morning, Linda and I had gone up to Dover on Tuesday night to be with all of our friends, our Republican friends, and try to pick up the pieces. And I remember that Tuesday night in Dover. And, you know, here were all of my friends, and in one way or another, I worked on everybody's campaign, every one of the statewide Republicans, and there were five of them. And I worked on everybody's campaign to one extent or another. I was obviously the most involved in Kevin Wade's campaign for the U.S. Senate. I did some things to help out Tom Kovac, who was the Republican running for the U.S. House of Representatives. I did a lot to help out Cher Valenzuela, who was the Republican candidate for lieutenant governor, and I thought just really a dynamic, very attractive and electable, highly articulate, very competent, experienced, and successful candidate for lieutenant governor. she did better than she got somewhere, I think, in the mid-30s in terms of percent of votes cast for her. I did things to help out Jeff Craig, who was our excellent candidate for governor, and to help out Ben Mobley, who was our candidate for insurance commissioner. But, you know, I noticed that everybody at the Dover Downs that Tuesday night in November was not quite as crushed, and I was as down as a person could be. Linda has just come home, and Linda remembers that night, and she was not pleased by the fact that I was bummed out, and I was bumming heavily, and I just couldn't. Yes, and then, yeah, and I'm telling you, it was terrible. But I did suggest to Kevin that he and I put together a program that would go on the radio nationwide, and we're working on it and chipping away at it. And the result is Common Sense with Kevin Wade, which I'm going to bring you now. Stand by, and you will enjoy this. Be back right after Common Sense with Kevin Wade.
Conservatives acknowledge that our American traditions, culture, laws, and language, in fact, our American way of doing things, have served the interests of our country very well since 1776. Our Constitution does not establish economic rights, only political and civil rights. Despite recent interpretations, the Constitution does not guarantee jobs, housing, food, or medicine to anybody. Nor should it. Americans have always been perfectly capable of earning for themselves the things they want and need. The promise of America is opportunity, not guarantees. Some thoughts in the American way after this.
This is the sound of a brand new outdoor grill being hurled off a 20-story building. Now a stylish glass coffee table. An electric guitar. These are the things you could enjoy all cast into oblivion. Because when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have bought with it. Visit EnergySavers.gov and get tips on how to save energy and money. Then do things like switch to Energy Star light bulbs or Energy Star appliances, and you could save hundreds of dollars a year. So this doesn't happen to the recliner you've had your eye on. Or this to the treadmill on your wish list. Or this to the shiny new bike your kid's been asking for. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
President John F. Kennedy remains one of the most beloved Americans in our history. But despite the accomplishments of his presidency, he is best remembered for his inaugural address, in which he said, "Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country." That was right in 1961, and it still is today. That's just common sense. I'm Kevin Wade.
Indeed, and Kevin has an overdosage of common sense about it. I mean, there's no question about it. Linda and I were honored and very pleased to have dinner with Kevin last night here in Georgetown, Delaware. Before we went to an event that is called Christians United for Israel, and this was held at a church west of Georgetown, and there was a profoundly dynamic and moving speaker there whose name is Sergeant Ben Anthony of the Israeli Defense Forces. And Sergeant Anthony is an Israeli Defense Force reservist, and he is part of an organization that is called Our Soldiers Speak. And Sergeant Anthony, I will relay one anecdote that he mentioned. I mean, sitting listening to this guy, if, like me, you realize that Israel is a very, very serious ally of America, and if, like me, you realize that Israel must be our ally because Israel is the only democracy in the Middle East. And if, like me, you realize that if Israel lays down her arms, there will be no more Israel. If the Arabs lay down theirs, there will be peace in the Middle East. But so one of the things that Sergeant Anthony said that really got to me, and this goes to many different levels, he was on a checkpoint in southern Lebanon during the invasion, I think, of 2006. And he was accused of raping Palestinian women just because he was at that checkpoint. Apparently, there had been some kind of an incident. It almost certainly was not at the hands of Israeli soldiers, but there was some kind of an incident there. And when he was able to prove that he was not even there at the time of this incident, the response of the professional left was, oh, there, you see, they are such racists, they won't even rape a Palestinian woman. I'm not making this up. I am not making this up. This is the kind of anti-Israeli and flat-out anti-Semitic nonsense that is being promulgated by the left-wing media in the United States and all over the world. The world has turned against Israel. There is no reason why they should. It is just bizarre. About 14 and a half minutes now before the top of the hour, you know, speaking of the leftist media, they would love it if conservatives like us were to think that we're just a few lonely voices out there in the wilderness. Oh, there's just a couple of you. Nobody's taking you seriously. But look, don't let them get to you. Don't be fooled. Americans that identify themselves as conservative outnumber liberals by 2-1, according to many, many polls, even those done by liberals like the New York Times, the Brookings Institution, etc. If you, like us, respect traditional American values, I've got some news for you. There is a place for you to call home on the Internet. It is traditionalamericanmovement.com, or TRADAM, as those of us at CNR call it. TraditionalAmericanMovement.com is the place where real conservatives can meet up, minus the turf wars that seem to characterize a lot of things like this. You can find out what's new in the conservative community. So join up, find out what's happening, be a part of the conservative revolution, all on TraditionalAmericanMovement.com. That is www.traditionalamericanmovement.com. I do hope to see you there soon. Fortunately for all of us, TradAm is a liberal-free website. That's a good thing. 13 minutes now before the top of the hour. Going to take a brief break. More of your calls are coming up. The wrap-up segment is right on the other side. It's all straight ahead, so stay right where you are.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Dave, what are you doing?
Just sending a gift to Dave2037.
Who?
Me in the future. I save a little money from every paycheck as a gift to Dave2037, so he can spend it on things like anti-gravity boots or a hologram Doberman. Something cool like that. I think Dave2037 deserves it. He worked hard. What are you getting Steve2037?
I guess I was thinking Steve2037 would just fend for himself.
Well, all right, but don't expect to be borrowing my anti-gravity boots.
You want to have money in your future? You got to start saving now. Putting some money from every paycheck into a savings account or contributing to your 401k can make a big difference later. Put away a few bucks, feel like $1 million. For free ideas and easy ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's feedthepig.org.
Hey, let's just hope Steve2037 doesn't get his hands on a cold time machine, because he is going to come back here and knock some sense into you.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
All right, class. Let's hear what everyone did this weekend. Jill?
Well, I raised my older sister to a big oak tree. It was at least 100 years old. My mom said I must have set a record or something. And then we went down by a stream and pushed up on this huge rock and saw all of these little minnows swimming around way below us. And then I rescued my little brother from an evil slug king who was guarding him at the bush fortress. And my sister and I brought him back to our super twig fort for safety. And then we all laid out and told stories until it got dark. And the Big Dipper led us all the way home.
Whoa!
Where were you, Jill?
Yeah.
We went to the forest. It's not that far away. Anyone want to come this weekend?
Yeah.
asked your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week and find the fun, adventurous you. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here? You're listening to Duke Books on conservativenationradio.org.